Hi, it's Martin here, and you are with Kaput Radio. Today's program is all about local issues. First, a notion about people's impression of last week's politics, followed by an interview about a local art gallery. I went out asking what was the most important point in politics this week. Here are three voices.
Well, I went to Kawangla booth.
Yeah.
And
from the state election, you're talking.
State election, and the guy on the booth said, "Just put one in the who you're voting for. Just one." And he didn't even tell me that you had to put preferences.
Yeah.
So if I'd have voted, so anyone that voted Labor, who came third, their vote, and they only put one, that means their vote would have just gone in the bin.
Mm.
So I reckon that's corrupt, you know, that's...
Yeah, I've noticed other irregularities in the past with the Electoral Commission there.
Yeah.
They also, Wolfgang and I, we tried to find the results.
Yeah.
They're completely obscure.
You
can't find any website
stating
the results of the individual polling booths. Not possible.
I saw it for the state election, I saw the results.
Yeah, but not on the individual places, like...
I think... Nimbin was like 600 and something green votes to 100 nationals, and Kawangla was 230 to like 60 or something green, 230 greens. That was
so
two main green, and the Channon was the other one that was really green. But yeah,
so you feel distrusting that system.
I just think it's so confusing. It says you can vote, you can either put a one or you can put preferences, right? And a lot of people don't know that. You know, if you only put one, your vote's wasted if your party comes third. So I just think that should be explained better to people,
which
a lot of people don't understand.
Which benefited Thomas George in the end.
And the guy in the booth, he could have been a national voter and it benefited him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think there's something sus going on.
Okay.
That's my political thoughts.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries.
What's the problem? Why did the Green didn't win, in your view? The Green candidate in Lismore, Adam Guise.
Because the Labour voters, they hate the Greens more than the Liberals. So they only most of the Labour voters just put a one on Labour and didn't do the optional preferential, keeping the numbers going for Greens second and whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they would have, then Thomas George would have been out.
Do you think there's a general something wrong with this system of voting here in Australia?
It's totally preferential bullshit, ending up in two camps? This two-party system is just, total crap,
So couldn't it be that just people made mistakes by not voting in the right way to give the preferences that definitely not to George, to Thomas George?
They could have, but the whole system is totally flawed anyway. It's stuffed. And and Murdoch still having this big power here. That doesn't help.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
But
what stands out for you?
Well, I was a bit sad to see that Thomas George did get across the line and we didn't get a Greens in Lismore. That's a bit of a shame, but hopefully we can put a bit of pressure on Thomas to do the right thing and send those CSG bloody frackers, tell them to frack off.
Mm. Did you notice that there is no results on the website, that the Electoral Commission sort of obfuscates the results there, Ben?
I haven't been onto the website to have a look.
Try to figure out whether the individual polling booths, how they voted, and you can't find that information at all.
No, I haven't really been to look,
Heard any other irregularities on the Electoral Commission in the past?
No, I don't really kind of follow it that closely. Mm. You know, my extent
What is...
is
your hunch why this didn't go? I mean, it sounded to me that it was a given that the Greens would get the seat.
I think Thomas George has been here for a long time and, you know, it's a rural area.
Oh, yeah.
And there's enough farmers out there. There must be more farmers than there are hippies.
Mm. It was initially the counting went ahead for the Greens, and then it's only the last few days that he got in front of it with a few hundred
I think
votes,
they were waiting for the postal votes, didn't close till Wednesday, okay. The 1st of April. So perhaps sort of older people, the sort of older, more conservative generation, were the people doing the postal votes because, you know, if they don't travel so well or... I don't know, you know, I'm not a political analyst.
But just all humans, of course.
Yeah.
Just anything else in politics which you haven't thought about? Or
Oh, I've had a busy week. I've got a woofer and, personal politics.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think. Yeah, no, look, I haven't even had a chance to watch the news much this week, so, I couldn't really tell you.
It was claimed by people that the voting system with the preferences sort of made advantage for Thomas George because a lot of people voted informal because of mistakes, you know, not numbering.
The preferential system has always been fraught with issues. I'm from Queensland, and for a large part of my life, Joe Bielke-Peterson ran the ship up there with apparently quite a low percentage of the primary vote, but the preferences kicked him over the line time and time again. And also the fact that Queensland is very rural, and I remember my grandmother telling us that, you know, we have to vote for him because she's a country, she's off the land. He looks after the farmers, and, you know, Labor never had a decent, any kind of rural policy. So when you're talking a lot of rural seats, people are locked into what was then the Country Party. Because they were the farmers and they felt like their needs had to be protected.
My background is from Germany, and we have a multi-party system. There's at present there's six parties in the parliament represented, and here it seems like that's an impossibility. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I always thought that even, you know, the two-party, the opposition, you know, the party that's in the opposition... It's not really a good way to run a country, because what you've done is you've set up two groups in conflict with each other. As opposed to perhaps, you know, a council of elders. It doesn't really matter what party. If you had, you know, 12 good people up there with, you know, intelligent, sensible, rational people who care about the community, who care about the environment... I think we would be a lot better off instead of these kind of fights. And I've watched, actually, a couple of times at lunchtime, I've flicked on the telly and I watched Parliament. And I have to say, it's appalling. They're like a bunch of children. The fighting, the sniping, the carrying on. In fact, I'm embarrassed that this is my parliamentarians. This is how they behave. They're behaving worse than children. And in fact, if school children were told to go and watch Parliament as part of their education, they would be shocked, absolutely shocked. And then they possibly, the scary thing is, they might think this is appropriate behaviour, the name-calling, the bullying, the rude interjections,
That's a very good point.
Shocking.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
No one seemed to have put any emphasis on the starkest news of domestic politics. For me, it was the tax debate. A staggering $60 to $100 billion of taxes have been evaded by multinational companies in Australia. And remember, this is legal and unfortunately an international problem currently unresolved. I may add that under the present system of debt money creation with its inherent profit requirements, these multinationals will continue to evade taxes. They minimise their costs to effectively compete against each other at the expense of government revenue, or in short, at the expense of badly needed funding for the programs people rely upon. The Australian Tax Commissioner stated in an interview that he will be happy if he can collect about $1.5 billion. The law agreed by both sides of politics allows anonymity under the clause of confidentiality. Politicians of both sides have been successfully bribed by multinational companies to cast this law. Now, I thought this is another huge inequality standing out in this week's politics. Well, obviously, we have been browbeaten into acceptance over time and don't demand any meaningful debate and questioning any longer. Just thinking how nobody seems to notice. And now you can hear my interview with Heather, presently the curator of the Blue Knob Hall Art Gallery.
Hi, listener. I'm standing here with Heather, who is curator and organizer of the Blue Knob Art Gallery. And we're having a gallery open for some art exhibition just taking place. Now, good evening, Heather. How do you see this whole place here being shaping up for... you are mainly involved in organising these things here, so
this is the first time I've actually curated an exhibition at Blue Knob. This particular one's called Icons, and we've got a really eclectic sort of selection of works by various local artists, as well as some 3D works. And, there's some really unusual pieces. I think if anybody comes along, I'm sure they would probably find something that would really speak to them.
Yeah, it's very difficult to attempt to with a radio to convey anything visually. I tried it a little bit for a German little production with Wolfgang, but I was more interested that this is a long ongoing affair here and that this is kind of a centre for the local artists.
Well,
isn't it?
We do our best to make sure that we hang the works so that they have their own space. Our exhibition program changes every 2 months. Mm. We've got our big fibre show coming up in June, which is an annual show, and that is huge. That's our biggest
fibre show. The topic.
Yeah.
Is this some sort of upmarket weaving thing, or
it incorporates all sorts of fibre, it can be wood, it can be basket weaving, it can be felt, it can be knitting.
We have
a whole different selection of works.
So this is a theme with relating to the material used.
That's mainly what it's all about. Yeah. And, there's some really beautiful one-off pieces. Well, all of them would be one-off pieces. Lovely jackets and vests and slippers and mittens and hats.
So apart from displaying art, it's also utilitarian, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Oven mitts. Felt oven mitts.
And so
our very own icon, Robin Moore, who's turning 90 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, dear. That's respectable.
That is very respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many artists are here in the region working? And I understand the gallery is a supportive system for them.
Yeah, well, we've got a membership of around probably 120 people.
That many?
Yeah.
All right.
Some of them are not necessarily artists, but supporters of the gallery.
Mm.
But probably 90% of those people would be artists, and that's not all the artists in the region, you know.
That's a new segment, you reckon?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the North Coast is plastered with galleries, you know, when you drive around, a 50-kilometre distance from here, the next one turns up.
Yeah.
So there must be a huge demand.
Well, it it just provides, you know, new opportunities for artists to exhibit in other places. Mm. You know.
And you have also, you're involved personally with ceramics, I heard?
Yeah, I'm a ceramic artist and we're currently completing a purpose-built ceramic studio, which we're hoping to, well, it will definitely open sometime this year. We've got it to lock-up stage and we're currently fitting it out. So we've got gas lines and plumbing and electrics and walls and ceilings and rendering and painting and shelving and stuff to do. So it's going to be a few months with a lot of volunteer help to finish that off. But it's going to be huge when it opens.
Yeah.
Lots of people want to use it. So
I heard you're working on this for a while. And
it's been in the making for a couple of years now. And we ran out of funds and have been trying to save money this last year through working as a volunteer in the cafe. So all the profits that we've made from the cafe, we've been hoarding up this last year so that we can do the final
push.
So
is this a high capital investment? Is it expensive to buy the equipment or what?
Well, I've donated my studio to the gallery, so we've got kilns and wheels and all that sort of stuff. And also a lot of the community members have donated equipment as well. So, you know, we're going to have heaps of equipment for people to use. It's going to be great.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much for the listen. I hope the listener can come along and visit the place.
Yeah. If anybody's interested in creating ceramics and they'd like to go on our database, come and put your name down or let us know, and when the time comes, we can let you know when it opens.
Blue Knob Art Gallery.
Blue Knob Hall Gallery and Cafe.
Okay. Thanks very much for that.
Thanks.
So, dear friends, this was Kaput Radio for today. You heard some comments on the state election results chosen as the important piece of politics of the week by those people. You heard my choice of the Australian tax debate as the most important issue. And I'm sure that there will be no Google tax here. Plus, the rumor that Apple will bring out a sleek new tax haven very soon. You can get more info about the Blue Knob Hall Gallery by visiting blueknobgallery.com. And the music sample were Thus Zarathustra Spoke by Deodato. My name is Martin. You can Google Kaput X Radio for more shows. Kaput spells with two T's, by the way. And generally, stay tuned to more Kaput Radio. Bye for now.